Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing about the dream webs I create based on instructions from a spider. While some are for me, I will have some for sale at the Moonbow Metaphysical Spring Expo in Saranac Lake, New York, on March 30th and 31st. If you're localish, I hope you'll come to the expo and check those out, or get a 15-minute shamanic Reiki session or an animal oracle reading. The experience with the spiders in the Ho Forest was part of my shamanic Reiki master teacher training. I'm so grateful for the richness of my training and the gifts of the teachings that I can pass on to you, like the practice I'll be sharing in a few minutes. My next Shamanic Reiki Level 2 virtual training offering begins next Wednesday, February 21st. If you have a Reiki 1 attunement in any tradition, you can start at Level 2 with me. If you'd like to find out more about shamanic Reiki training, there's a link in the show notes. Earlier this week, during a grad school class Zoom discussion of our readings, which were about the extinction crisis, we were discussing how we could better communicate about biodiversity loss to those who are still unaware of how dire things are for many of the beings we share this planet with. I expressed my frustration at the lack of stories with happy endings. We humans have proven to be really lousy at coming together to save another species, despite all the clamoring of conservationists. There are very few stories we can be inspired by. We got into talking about language and how today's English lacks the words necessary to express our relationship with the rest of life as it really is. One of my classmates called it entanglement, and I love that. But so much of the way we say things expresses separateness, or worse, domination. We even call nature, nature, as if it's this other thing outside that we go into every now and then, and not what we are. As a writer and speaker, I'm constantly struggling to find better words and ways of expressing what I understand to be true about life without resorting to words I frankly can't pronounce. And I don't want you to have to Google the definition of words while you're listening either. It's one of the reasons embodiment practices have been important to me. Not just for myself, but to share. If I can't explain it, maybe I can make you feel it. Valentine's Day was this week, so there's been lots out there about love. Love is one of those English words that I struggle with. Merriam-Webster has 17 different definitions for love, and that's just the noun version. Really, couldn't we have come up with some other words for a few of them? And not one of those definitions covers what I think of when I think of the kind of love that is present in our relationship to the web of life. And here's where I struggle not to get philosophical and to keep it real. Thomas Berry was a priest and scholar whose works are filled with this, how do I express what I know to be true about the world and the human place in it, stuff. Reading his books and trying to wrap my head around what he's saying is like trying to wrangle my own thoughts into something that would make sense to you. Just as an example, he wrote, "The universe is composed of subjects to be communed with, not objects to be exploited. Everything has its own voice. Thunder and lightning and stars and planets, flowers, birds, animals, trees, all these have voices, and they constitute a community of existence that is profoundly related." A community of existence that is profoundly related. Ah, yes, I get that. Okay, no, I don't really. What is that relationship? How am I profoundly related to all these other beings? I have a weird relationship with spiders. It started when I learned to knit, which coincided with the early days of my exploration of nature-based spirituality. Knitting was kind of like weaving and tied me to the Greek myth of Arachne. And so spiders were these feminine beings I felt related to when I was knitting. Later, I learned how to make dream catchers, which look like spider webs. Then I had a series of trippy journeys with spiders in the Hoh rainforest during a trip to the Pacific Northwest, and I got told all kinds of things about the dream webs I was creating, like what they meant and how I should be when I craft them. And one of the things I got from that was a lesson in what the web of life is. So Thomas Berry tried to describe it as a bunch of voices communing. Communing, to go back to Merriam-Webster, is intimately sharing thoughts and feelings with each other on a spiritual level. But I learned from the spiders that there is a way to feel that in an embodied way. So calling it the web of life implies that there's all these threads connecting everyone together. But what are they? What is that spider silk made out of? It's love, but not the love in one of the 17 definitions. Sanskrit has the word anahata, which is the name of the heart chakra. And that's probably close to what I'm trying to say, but it doesn't translate well. Roughly, as I understand it, anahata means unstruck, as in the sound of a bell untouched by a striker. How does a bell make a sound without being struck? Ugh, we're into philosophy again. But I think it's the vibration of energy that always exists in the metal, that force that draws the molecules together and makes the bell stay a bell. The best word I can use for all of that is love, because English doesn't have a better one. It's like the force that is the purest essence of life. It's that underlying vibration. And it's the spider silk of the web of life that connects everyone. It's the buzz of Thomas Berry's universe-wide conversation in some language that existed before anyone learned to vocalize. Are you confused? I confused myself with all that. And that's the problem, because we can't act in a way that's in alignment with being, as my classmate called it, entangled in the web of life, unless we really get that we are. And I can't explain it to you in a way that's simple and real. So I have to keep coming back to the practices that help us feel it. There's a practice I learned in shamanic Reiki that's been, for me, the best way to feel it. It's called Shapeshifting into Earth and Cosmos in Lynn Roberts' book, Shapeshifting into Higher Consciousness. It's a Tibetan practice that's intended to balance earth energy and cosmic energy in you. But as Lynn points out in the book, in creating that balance, we're recognizing that we aren't separate from those energies, which encompass all of those subjects in Thomas Berry's communion idea. And when you do this practice, the energies meet at the heart, and we're back to anahata again. There's a lot of thread imagery in the way I teach it too, so my spiders have a say. This is a movement practice, so you're going to need 10 minutes and a bit of space, not too much space, but you will have to reach overhead. So pause the episode if you can't do it right now. If standing isn't something you can do, it works in a chair. And if the movements aren't available to you, you can visualize or feel the practice. But I'm going to explain it standing. So I like to start the shape-shifting into Earth and Cosmos practice with an invitation to take a little walk. And if you happen to be outside to do this practice, and you can walk around there, that's awesome. But you can walk around inside in a room, you can walk around your house. This is an opportunity to connect with place. So as you walk around, look, listen, start to open up your senses to what's around you. Now, if you're inside, that doesn't mean that you should be looking for dust bunnies or those windows that could really use a washing. Instead, look at the things that you've surrounded yourself with. I know I'm guilty of putting things I love on a shelf or on my desk, and then I just stop seeing them. So, if you're like me, use this opportunity to reacquaint yourself with the things that you placed in your space. to remember why they're special to you, why they're sacred. And as you're walking, if you can do this barefoot, it's really awesome, but it also works if you're wearing socks or shoes. Pay attention to the way that the earth feels under your feet. And if you're inside, remember that the floor is just as much a part of the earth as the ground outside. And just notice where energetically you feel really good in this space. Like maybe there's a spot on the floor that you get to and it's like, oh, I belong here. This spot is calling to me. And just continue to wander in your space a little bit more until you find that place that calls to you. And when you find that place, just stand there, paying attention to whatever sensations are present in your feet or in your body, and the emotional connection to the space that you're standing on. And then, when you're ready, reach down toward the earth. Now you can do this by simply reaching down through your fingers, or if it's comfortable for you, put a little bit of bend in your knees, hinge from your hips. See, the yoga teacher in me is coming through. Take care of your back in this situation. Reach down. Maybe you can get your fingers on the floor or close to the floor. And as you're reaching down, let your fingers start to connect with the energy of the earth. And I imagine that energy being like a tangle of threads. Imagine you can catch some of those threads in your fingers, and as you take your next breath in, either stand up or simply begin to lift your hands, and imagine that you're guiding those threads up your legs, so through your feet, up your legs, come all the way up through your hips and your torso, and then bring those threads into your heart space, and just put your hands on your heart for a moment. And take a couple breaths just holding them there. Feeling that energy of the earth as it threaded its way all the way up into your being and is now just kind of sitting and swirling in the heart space. And then we're going to practice a breath called Kamai. So the exhale is going to sound like shoo. So, shoo, shoo. And we're going to use that exhale to lift those threads up through the arms and out through the fingertips. And imagine you can just shoot them all the way up into the cosmos. So let's do that. Take a breath in and then reach your arms up overhead, reach through your fingers and send those threads up into the cosmos. Now keep your hands up there. And let your fingers start to connect to the threads of cosmic energy. Now those are luminous. All that light
from the stars, everything that's reflecting off the planets and moons. And go ahead and grab some of those threads of luminous cosmic energy. And as you take your next breath in, begin to draw your hands down towards the top of your head and imagine that you're threading that luminous energy down through your head, down through your neck, into your chest, and then into your heart. Put your hands on your heart again. Hold that energy there. So now that cosmic energy is swirling in the heart space. And in just a moment, we're going to send the cosmic energy down into the earth with that same shoo sound. So take a big breath in and either just shooting your hands down or bending over carefully as you do this. Shoo. Imagine shooting that energy out through your fingertips and down into the earth. So now that cosmic energy is flowing down through you into the earth. And then grab some more threads of earth energy. And as you take your next breath in, begin to stand up. If you bent over, bring that energy up through your feet, through your legs, up through your torso, into your heart. Hold it and then reach up and send it to the sky, to the cosmos, sending it out. Earth energy flowing all the way up through you. And then on your next inhale, grab some of those luminous threads of cosmic energy and bring them down through the crown of your head, down through your neck, down into your heart space. Hold it there and then reach down and send it down to the earth. And so again, inhale, keeping this breath going, bring the earth energy up, those little threads. I always picture them as green and glowing, coming all the way up into the heart space and then sending the earth energy to the cosmos and then catching the threads of cosmic energy, bringing them down through your crown. Big breath in as you bring them into the heart space and then sending them down to the earth. And again, earth energy, inhale, bring it up. Feel it travel up your legs, up your spine, into your heart, and then send it up to the sky, and then catch that cosmic energy, and just feel the sparkles of energy as you bring them down into your heart. And send it down to the earth with the exhale. And then again, if you've bent over, make sure you're being careful, protecting your knees and low back. Come up nice and slow, bring it up into the heart space. Exhale it up to the sky. And then bring it down again through the crown of your head. Down into your heart, really anchoring things in your heart. Send it down to the earth. Inhale, bring it up through your feet, through your legs, all the way up into the heart center. Send it up to the sky, to the cosmos. Find those little threads of light up there. Bring them down with your inhale. Bring them into your heart. Bend carefully if you do. Send it down into the earth. And then inhale again up. Bring it into the heart. Send it to the cosmos and then inhale. Bring cosmic energy down into the heart. Send it down to the earth. Again, inhale. All the way up into the heart space with that earth energy. Send it to the cosmos. Bring that light energy down with your next inhale and then send it down to the earth. And again, inhale to the heart. Send send it to the cosmos, and then last time, bring that cosmic energy down to the heart. Now just open your mouth and exhale with a sigh. Keep your hands on your heart and feel the earth energy swirling around in the heart space. Feel the cosmic energy swirling around in the heart space. Feel the entanglement of the threads of both in your heart and the channels of energy from the earth and from the cosmos flowing up and down through you. And feel that energy is balanced and harmonious. And you may feel very light and energized. And take a moment just to stand with that energy. And if it ever feels like too much, just release the extra down into the earth. Remember that she's always there to receive what we don't need, whether it's not serving us or if it's just too much and needs to ground. And she'll take it and she'll compost it and she'll use it for something else. You can stand with that energy as long as you would like. This is a practice that I do regularly just to stay connected, to feel harmonious, to feel balanced, and to stay connected to my heart space, to feel the entanglement, to feel my place in the web of life.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.